Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Jake Dicker. Jake, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well, Arash. How are you?
I am good. Felt great this morning. Very rarely do you wake up to good news. And it was 6 a.m. Got the notification. Reggie Bush has been reunited with his 2005 Heisman Trophy. Complete with the picture. It was very cool to see the Heisman Trust send out a picture of Reggie and his trophy. Again, this has been something that's been in the works for quite some time. You well know that this is a different landscape with college sports. Caleb Williams, for example, during his past two seasons at USC, made north of $10 million. I covered that Heisman Trophy ceremony. He flew there and back in a private jet, stayed in the penthouse suite. This is a different time period. So the days of a player not being able to get a car or get an apartment or a house or something paid for seems ridiculous. Again, Caleb Williams was in commercials making $10 million. Jake, again, when Reggie gave up the Heisman, again, he won it in 2005. When he gave it up in 2010 following the investigation, I mean, it was a like avalanche of, you know, he's got to give up the Heisman. He cheated. And there is literally not one person, maybe if you do a deep dive on social media or Twitter, which is something I do not recommend you doing, but there's been not one person that I hear saying, no, he shouldn't have it back. It's ridiculous. When you watch some of the documentaries that came out of Johnny Manziel basically admitting he's gotten paid, Cam Newton, look up Cam in terms of what he probably got paid. Players got paid one way or another back in the day. Now it's all on the up and up. So again, this is long overdue. Very happy to see it. Jake, your thoughts?
Good news. Just something that I didn't necessarily think was going to pop up on my feed this morning. Yeah. It was just something that was definitely good to see. I mean, the college sports nowadays could not be more different than it used to be. I mean, since 2021, when Reggie was putting up billboards around LA and kind of trying to build the momentum to get his Heisman back. But yeah, it used to be you can't get anything. And now it's literally kids are just going wherever they can get the most money or cars or TVs for their apartment. I mean, they're literally just going whoever will give them the most stuff, which is the complete opposite of the way it used to be. And Lincoln gets to put another feather in his cap because now SC can say that they have the most Heisman Trophy winners in college football history with 8. This one puts them back ahead. They were previously tied with Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame at 7. So this is just another, gun in the holster of Lincoln Riley's, weaponry. So good for SC, good for Reggie to have it back. It was long overdue. And glad to see that they finally made the right decision. It was cool to see, the Heisman Trust put that out, say that there were about 15 previous Heisman winners at Reggie's little, where he got his trophy back at his little ceremony. Right. So it was just cool to see the support. Everyone knew this is something that was going to happen at some point. And glad that this is kind of just behind Reggie at this point.
Exactly. And again, to your point, I mean, I woke up and you do that thing now in 2024 where you like look at the account and see if it's real, look at the calendar. Is it like April Fool's Day? Again, this was a big deal within the USC community. The billboards that you mentioned were put up by a USC fan. Again, there's a lot of USC big donors out there who, but again, to Reggie Bush's, this meant so much to him. He held a press conference at the Coliseum last summer where, and I don't know where the lawsuit sits right now. I think beyond getting the Heisman back, that was the number one thing he wanted because he's got the trophy back. It'll be at Heritage Hall again. Again, he gets his back. The school gets theirs back. He gets his number five re-retired. If he gets reinstated, I think USC gets back their 2005 BCS Crystal Ball National Championship. But the NCAA, I really truly don't know how much longer it will be a viable thing just with the current landscape of sports. And it is the wild, wild west, and it doesn't look like it's going to change. So, again, good news for USC, to your point, Jake. I mean, this is something that they use in recruiting, not just, hey, listen, you're going to come to the school that has the most ever Heisman trophies, but this, your like age group, I mean, grew up with Bush, right? I mean, well, maybe that he's a little bit before your time, or I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, if you're 20, you vaguely remember, but it's the highlights. You go on YouTube, and to have him back on campus, back if Lincoln needs help recruiting, can certainly do that as well. Big news last night in Los Angeles, which we'll get to more extensively in the next segment when we're joined by Grant and Mona, but the Clippers get Kawhi Leonard back. There was some rumblings that would happen. I really truly thought, Jake, when the Clippers blew up the Mavs in game one, that would buy him some time. And again, like even if he was healthy, you don't need to put him out in game two. But listen, they started him. He said he felt good. He didn't look good. Now, he didn't look terrible, but that was probably one of the worst playoff games I've seen from Kawhi. Again, really no jump in his step. And again, when you don't play for 3 weeks, and not only don't play for 3 weeks, no contact practices. I mean, so they really kind of put him out there, I think, a little bit quicker than they should. I don't think it I don't think it hurt the Clippers in this way. Like there was no way they were going to blow up the Mavs in back-to-back games. So game two was going to be closer. The Mavs did what they had to do. They won game two. They've got home court. And now we go to game three in Dallas. Jake, your thoughts on A, Kawhi coming back, and then the Clippers. Again, very good game, but could not close it out as the Mavs win 96-93.
Yeah, Kawhi definitely looked a step slow. There was a play where he stole the ball at half court and kind of stepped through and was all alone and took off for a dunk where he looked like he was moving a little bit better. And I was like, all right, he's going to turn a corner. And it never really got to that point. I think the thing that we've talked about with the Clippers, especially I have on this show, is it's going to come down to health and their role players who have exceeded in their roles. And last night, Norm Powell went 2 of 10 from the field. Russell Westbrook went 2 of 9 from the field. And the Clippers shot 8 of 30 from beyond the arc, which at this point in the year just isn't going to get it done. James Harden, 2 of 10 from beyond the arc. Kawhi was there, but I mean, definitely was kind of just a shell of himself, was kind of more just out there for the sake of being out there, it seemed to me, whether that was for production purposes or we need him out there to draw some eyes and get some other guys some better looks. Whatever that may be, I did think after the game one win, they may push it a little bit. They didn't, brought him back. And obviously now we're in a 1-1 series heading back to Dallas. So it's going to be about slowing Luka down. Obviously, you're never going to shut him down completely. He's going to get his. It's just kind of limiting that and trying to make other guys beat you. If they can do that, they got a shot, but you got to take at least one in Dallas because you can't come home down 3-1.
But here's why, and again, I kind of went back and forth on this, and I talked to someone who's connected to the team, and he said basically, like, at the end of the day, if we're going to win a championship, it's going to be with Kawhi. And so these guys, A, Kawhi's got to get back into the flow of things. B, these guys have to get used to, once again, playing with Kawhi, which should not be hard. But this isn't one of those things where just because they blew out the Mavs in game one, which was, again, my thinking here, that we're going to continue to sit him. Like, let's just say the Clippers won game two and Kawhi was still healthy. Again, they're not going to sit a healthy Kawhi or a Kawhi who wants to come back and play. Do you agree with that? And here's why I totally get that statement. Yes, the Clippers may be able to win a couple of games against the Mavs without Kawhi, but if they're going to win this series and if they're going to win a championship, they need Kawhi back.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I mean, he is their engine that makes them go. So, I mean, this is what you play for, right? No one at this point of the year is going to tell you they're 100% healthy. Everyone's playing with something. Kawhi is just is maybe a little bit better documented than others when it comes to his injury history. So, I mean, if he's able to go at this point, he has to be out there. I mean, he is the heart and soul of this team. He is the reason that they brought in Paul George. He's the reason that James Harden came in, is that kind of missing piece. So if he can go in any capacity, he's going to be out there. It's just a matter of what they're going to get out of him, because he anchors them at the defensive end, and then they're asking him to do the same on the offensive end. And when you're kind of hobbling a little bit, that's a lot to handle. So it's going to be on the other guys to step up, because as I said, everyone's dealing with something. Kawhi, obviously the history's there. So you don't necessarily want to make him shoulder the load this too early if you're going to make a deep run, because you're going to need him around.
Let's look at this series, big picture. Now it's 1-1. Again, it's the third time that these two teams are meeting up in the postseason. You could tell on the face of Luka that this game meant so much to him, because first of all, this is a team that he's lost to twice, but the way that those guys played in game one, certainly he wanted to come back and show that, like, we are here to play. So Luka Doncic finishes with 32 points. Kyrie has 23. Big picture. And again, just real quick, Kawhi coming back with 15, 7 of 17 from the field. Paul George, 22. James Harden, 22. Russell Westbrook, I think you can't really look at the box score. And again, he was such a box score guy for a long time.
Right.
Triple double. What he brings in terms of his passion and his, like, how excited he is, you could just tell when he's not on the court. The Clippers are not the same team. Again, okay, so 1-1, big picture. Next two games in Dallas. How do you see this series playing out?
We're at a really interesting point in this series, because the Mavs went 25-16 at home this year, and the Clippers went 25-16 on the road. So we're kind of entering a period where it's both of these teams are comfortable in the environment that they're walking into. Yeah. It all comes down, I think, to game three. If you can steal game three and almost play with house money in game four, where you know you're coming home either up 3-1 with a chance to close out the series, or you go home tied at 2-2 with a chance to go up 3-2, I think it just makes that game all that much easier. I think going out and doing whatever you can to win game three is really important. Ivica Zubac was such a factor in game one with 20 and 15, kind of dominating Derek Lively inside. If they can get that going as well, it just adds another feature to this offense. And I agree with what you said about Russ, about the stat sheet. You can't really look at that. He's just impacting the game in so many different ways, kind of just being this energy spark plug with this team. That's his role. So I think if the Clippers can go out and win game three, they're in a great spot. If they don't, then I think it becomes a lot more challenging. Obviously, being up 2-1 is far easier than being down 2-1. But I think that game four becomes really tough if you're down 2-1, and it's not a must win. It kind of becomes a must win, because yeah, you can't really fall down 3-1. So game three is the X factor. If they can take care of that, hopefully the time off helps Kawhi a little bit. But if they can take care of that, I don't hate the Clippers' chances.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it's game three is so crucial for both teams in sort of the way that you would have to approach game four, playing it out from both sides of here. You know, if the Mavericks win game three and go up 2-1 in the series, and if they can take a 3-1 series lead back to Los Angeles where they just won, and, like, even if they don't, they have the chance to close out the series at home in game six. Huge. But the Clippers, very similar. If they win game three, take back home court advantage, and then how do you pursue game four? Like, if we win game four, we can close this out back home in game five, or at least have the three chances to. So we'll see how that all plays out. Wanted to get your thoughts, obviously, on the Lakers. They are back in Los Angeles, went through practice today. Game three of this series will be Thursday night. Jake, you know, when they're up 20 points and you're thinking a couple things. A, I'm thinking, well, let's see if they can hold on to this lead. But game three, in terms of maybe getting Jared Vanderbilt back, maybe getting Christian Wood back, coming back 1-1 with home court advantage, breaking that. You know, again, those guys will come back. It looks like they are trending in the direction of getting Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood back. They're as healthy as they've been all season. It's the only positive that I thought going into the series of them playing in round one, is this will be the healthy and freshest this team will be the entire postseason. The way that they blew that game, Jake, 20 points, last second shot. I know why they were complaining about the officials, because obviously they want some home cooking back in Los Angeles for game three and four. But man, they really had a chance here to give themselves a real chance to win the series. Problem is, Jake, in my mind, they've lost 10 straight to them. I don't think that they're going to win four of the next five. I think the question is, can they win one, maybe two? And even that, I don't think so. Your thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to come up with something to say right here. I love Jared Vanderbilt and I love Christian Wood. All the respect in the world to them, but let's not act like those two guys are going to be the difference makers in this series. I mean, as you said, they've lost 10 straight. Denver is, as I said before the series started, far and away, I think, the best team in the Western Conference. And when you're up 20 on the road and a chance to have a statement win and come home tied at one and you blow it, it kind of just feels like the series ends on the Jamal Murray step back mid-range, right? Yeah. It feels like all everything you had is gone. Even if you give up the 22-point lead and you win the game by two, you're coming home 1-1. At the end of the day, like, that's all you need. Like, you don't get an extra advantage in the next game by winning this last game by a certain number of points. Like, you get out there with the win. You get out of there with the win. And now it's just, I mean, AD had the most unbelievable first half I've ever seen, and then was completely a non-factor in the second half on the offensive end. It just got lazy. It just seems like as soon as it got cut down to 15, it was like, oh, here we go again. So the question is, can they win one? Maybe. I don't know, because they blew a 22-point lead or whatever it was. Yeah. And it just seems like if you're going to lose games in that fashion, you're not going to win, the close ones down the stretch. But the Lakers, Lakers get it home, see if they can rattle off one, if they find a way to miraculously win two after losing 10 straight. I mean, at this point, they're playing with house money, because I've kind of given up on this series at this point. I think anyone who has realistic hope right now is setting themselves up to be disappointed. But we'll see. I mean, you play seven for a reason, so anything can happen.
Yeah,
you play four. If you're lucky, you play
seven. Exactly, and I don't think that they will. And to your point, we talked about the significance of Game 3 in the Clippers-Mavs series. I mean, the significance here is, like, if the Nuggets come into Los Angeles and win Game 3, like, you're going to see a really dead crowd there for Game 4. And it's just basically, like, the question is, will we get swept or will we lose this back in Denver in Game 5? So we'll see that. I mean, that's, I guess, the significance there for Game 3. We started off this segment with USC. Want to get your thoughts on another kind of big USC story in terms of Amon-Ra St. Brown, Detroit Lions star wide receiver, signing a four-year, $120 million contract extension, $77 million guaranteed. I mean, you're getting him at the absolute peak of his career, 24 years old, coming off an amazing season where the Detroit Lions go to the conference championship game. Your thoughts on that big deal, Jake?
I mean, great for him. They're locking up their young stud. I mean, he was a fourth rounder in the 2021 draft, coming out of high school. Everyone from Southern California knows this, out of Mater Dei, was the prime wide receiver prospect, staying home, going to USC. And then slipped a little bit in the draft down to four, but has just completely found his groove in the NFL. Had an unbelievable year in 2023, all pro season, had 10 touchdowns, over 1500 yards. So this makes all the sense in the world, both for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is, a staple of this young and energized Detroit offense. And all the sense in the world for the Lions, who are, approaching the peak of their rebuild. Contenders last year will be Super Bowl contenders for years to come. And he's the cornerstone of their offense next to Jared Goff and Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think it makes all the sense in the world for everybody involved to get this done, before training camps, before all that stuff. Kind of just focus on the year and lock up your stud young receiver.
Yeah. And before we head to break, just to close out with another USC story, Caleb Williams, once again, expected to be the first overall pick in the draft. On Thursday, Chicago, I don't expect them to use all their allotted time. How do you see the
Isn't
top
that just
five?
The most frustrating thing,
right?
In the world?
Yeah.
When it's like the clearest pick in the world and they give them like 6 minutes at the beginning of the first round and you're just sitting there between picks. You're like, all right, I'll go get another water. I'll grab some chips. And it's like, all right, we'll take Caleb Williams. Then we do it all over again for another 20 minutes.
We, for the first time in forever, like, we might not have a defensive player go in the top 10. Again, it's expected to be quarterback heavy. Real quick before we head to break, your thoughts on the top five. Again, Caleb will go one. Your thoughts on the other QBs that are expected to go up in the top five here.
Yeah, Caleb's going to go one. And then you have Washington, New England, Arizona and Minnesota, all of which could make the, you know, the case for taking quarterbacks. I would be a shock if Washington and New England didn't. I think that the Vikings probably will. We've seen a bunch of, or I guess the Chargers pick, but we've seen, you know, trade up, a lot of mock trade ups with the Vikings moving up because they need a guy. So it could be JJ McCarthy. Who knows, you know, what could happen there. He could go in the top three or he could fall into the middle of the first, end of the first round, and it wouldn't surprise me. So we'll see. It's definitely going to be Caleb and then some combination of Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison. But it should be fun on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like the majority of the mock drafts, and a lot of people are saying that the Chargers will trade down again. You know, having the fifth pick in the draft is a big deal, but, you know, will they stay there? Will they take a offensive tackle? Will they take a wide receiver? It does seem like they're probably going to trade down. There's a lot of holes that this team needs to fill in Jim Harbaugh's first season. So we'll see what they do there. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mona. He was at Crypto.com Arena last night. We'll get his thoughts on the Clippers loss, Kawhi's return, and the series. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground when
we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, we got some company here. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, G.A. Wiley, Jake Dicker. Grant, before we went to break, we teased that you were at the Clippers game last night, Crypto.com Arena. The return of Kawhi. So kind of, you know, the game began with a feel-good moment. Again, first time Kawhi has hit the court in 3 weeks. Knew that this wouldn't be the same blowout the game one was. I kind of got that. It certainly wasn't the best playoff game. And if you're a Clippers fan, obviously not the best result. The Mavs win 96-93. They now go back to Dallas with home court advantage. The series tied 1-1. First of all, your thoughts on Kawhi coming back and also your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, Kawhi coming back, you'd think that the Clippers would be playing a lot better. But look, this is a guy that came back. This is his first game in 3 weeks, maybe even longer, actually, since March 31st. He looked the part. He did not look like the Kawhi Leonard that we're usually used to seeing on the court. I mean, he was rusty. He wasn't getting lift on his shots. Things were short. He wasn't getting up and down the court very well. There's a few defensive possessions that he really made a difference. But other than that, it just looked like he was not in sort of any Kawhi Leonard type playoff performance, because we're used to seeing Kawhi Leonard in 2021 and last year when he was just dominant, 30 plus points per game. And I think that's what we all expected from him right off the bat. And that's just not what the case was. Even Paul George and James Harden did not have good games. They were off in game one. They were excellent. When you have a game like this where you have to grind it out, I usually have to give it to Luka and Kyrie in that instance. Like, I don't really like the Clippers in these grind out games. Like when they played the Timberwolves a couple months ago and it was a grind out game, they barely pulled it out of their hat. But most of these games that the Clippers play where it's like kind of, you got to grind it out, they don't really do well in those. And I just wanted to mention a few stats here because I saw it from X last night. Luka in game one was 11 for 26 and 4 of 12 from three. But in game two, he was 11 of 26 and 5 of 14 from three. So what this tells me is that the Clippers are actually doing as good of a job as you can do against Luka. I know he and Kyrie went on that 14-0 run late in the game last night. But, you know, if we're looking at it from the defensive perspective, I love what the Clippers are doing. The Mavericks haven't cracked 100 in the series yet. It's just a problem with the offense. And in the offense was fantastic in game one. And in game two, when you incorporate one of your best players back into the flow of things, and especially into a high intensity atmosphere like the playoffs, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, which is, it's concerning just because you're in game three now. I know they have a few days off before game three, which is going to be very crucial and very pivotal for Kawhi himself to get back into rhythm. He said himself after the game, "Hey, I didn't even practice. I haven't been practicing. I've just been rehabbing." So this is like his first contact session, and it was a game in the playoffs. So this is probably the most content I've been with a playoff loss in recent years, just because the Clippers played just about as bad as they can, and they still only lost by 3 points. And I know Paul George hit a late three to kind of screw people's spreads and money lines and stuff. But I just think that if you lose by three while playing as bad as you probably could have, I'm not going to say it's a win, but I'm just more content than I probably thought I would have been.
If you guys have any question of how big a Clipper fan G he is, she missed the Vanderpump rules in the Valley, two of her favorite shows, to watch the Clippers in a game that they would lose. But G.A., I mean, listen, we knew that this wasn't going to be a sweep or a five-game series. I think this will go six or seven. It's certainly trending in that direction. Your thoughts on how the Clippers looked last night against the Mavericks?
Yeah, I would just like to say the Valley slaps, guys. It is, as you kids say, it is the best show on Bravo right now. And I didn't miss it. I just deterred my watching of it, which I'm still really bummed. I kind of wish I went back and forth, to be honest with you. But you know what? I still watched my Clippers lose. Yeah, that was really disappointing. I mean, we said this before we went on air. I mean, that was one of the most disappointing performances, I think, for me as a Clipper fan, probably since what that Game 5 loss to the Suns a few years back. I think that rings pretty high up there. That being said, though, I mean, you had this Dallas team on a mission because of that embarrassing blowout in game one. So I don't want to say I saw this coming, but I definitely saw, you know, some kind of reaction from Dallas being made because of that horrific loss that they suffered on game one. That being said, I still have hope that they're going to make it past this round. I would think that, you know, with the addition of Kawhi and then eventually him getting his legs back and him, you know, getting his shooting rhythm back eventually, and then finally maybe getting a practice or two under his belt, maybe he can, you know, get at least to like 80% come game three or four, more likely game four, right? So we'll definitely see that. I want to wait. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I want to wait until I see maybe like until halftime of game three, like where he really truly is at, because that last game was not a great reflection of where he's at, right? It just shows how far behind he is. That being said, on the other end too, Dallas, you got to give them credit, man. Like they played extremely well. And Grant, they were only getting a point and a half the last time I saw. So they were fine on the spread. I don't think anybody got messed up. They did make it close. I'm sure for some people that probably took some props, they were probably not happy about it. But, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, no, I mean, again, Dallas, give them their due. Their role players did a great job. So, you know, give them their due. Still disappointed in the loss, but give Dallas their flowers.
Yeah, listen, we got a 1-1 series. I think it's going to be a heck of a series. I'm going to get Graham's thoughts on this in a minute. But, you know, Jake, the Clippers haven't not always looked great when they have been at full strength. They've been as healthy as they've been, like, in a long, long time this season. And there was a lot of question, you know, how are the pieces, how are, you know, Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Now, the Westbrook part of it figured itself out when they put him to the bench. But that being said, I mean, there have been some bad losses by the Clippers when they have been at full strength. And so wanted to get your thoughts on, I think that there's this feeling, I mean, I certainly thought to myself pregame that, okay, Kawhi's back, Clippers are rolling. But that's not the case. I mean, if Kawhi is himself, does that change how you view this playoff series?
I think so, because I think if Kawhi is healthy, now you have that other guy in James Harden who can kind of take the load off Paul George a little bit and they can spread it out. I mean, I've been so complimentary of their depth pieces all year and how good Norman Powell's been and how good Russell Westbrook's been. Terrence Mann's been essentially a non-factor in this series. Love for him to get the ball going. And I know I touched in the first segment on if you can get like a game one performance out of Zubac in either of these two games in Dallas, you'll take it. But yeah, obviously Kawhi is a huge difference maker just because he is even with Luka out there, I think if Kawhi is able to do what he's able to do on the offensive end and the defensive end, he becomes the most valuable player on the floor in this series, which I know is a crazy thing to say with what Luka is able to do on the offensive end. But I think the ability that Kawhi has on both ends of the floor makes him far and away the most valuable part in this player in this series. If you take him off the floor, you're losing things on both ends. So I do think it comes down to Kawhi's health. The James Harden addition does really help because then it's just not a one-man show if he's not able to go with Paul George. But it is going to come down to Kawhi. He is the difference maker in this series. When you have Luka and Kyrie on the other side, they're kind of able to go back and forth with Paul George and James Harden.
Grant, I talked to someone connected with the team, and they say, listen, if we're going to beat Dallas and if we're going to, you know, hopefully win our first championship, it's going to be with Kawhi. So there's no reason, if he says he can go, he's going to go. And again, they've been very cautious with him, so I don't think they put him back there too soon. But to your point, he hasn't played in at least 3 weeks, maybe longer, hasn't even had a contact practice. This was going to happen. That being said, got that done. That's his first game back. You get a few days off. Game of three, to your point, is Friday. So they have some time for him to get some contact practices in. I mean, how is this team different with Kawhi? Again, they've looked very good without Kawhi. But again, there's a big difference in blowing out the Mavs in one game or blowing out the Suns. If they are to win 4 of 7 against Dallas and if they are to win a championship, they need Kawhi back.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You're not going to win anything without Kawhi Leonard. So you kind of had to, I mean, if you want him back in the series, I'd rather him come back now as opposed to like game five when it's a 2-2 series. Yeah. And then like, you know, you throw him into the fire and then he has this type of performance. I'd rather him get his work now. You already know that you could win without him. And you go up 1-0. That was huge. That's why going up 1-0 is so huge, because you can kind of use this game as like a, hey, Kawhi, get back into your groove kind of game. But, you know, one of the big things that I'm, you know, didn't mention in the first part of my talk about the Clippers, Ivica Zubac, he did have 13 and 12, but Jake, you're right. Like, they took him right out of the game, the Mavericks. Like, and Jihei, you're right too. I got to give a lot of credit to the Mavericks because their defensive intensity was absolutely fantastic. That was just non-existent in game one. And in game two, they were blitzing everybody. They were up on them. They were picking them up full court sometimes. They just, the Clippers didn't have any room to kind of really get any space. I mean, they didn't really have any really easy shots. There was an easy shot by James Harden late in the game, but that's about it. Everything was really tough. So I got to give the Mavs a lot of credit in their defensive schemes. They really took Ivica Zubac out of the game. He was in early foul trouble. That really helped. But Ivica Zubac was one of the main reasons they won game one. So I always like to think of it this way. So the Clippers came out game one. I always like to think of game one as a feel out game by both teams, kind of see how the intensity is, see what kind of matchups you can get, see what their rotations are. In game two, the Mavericks adjusted. So now it's time for the Clippers to adjust to that adjustment in game three. And Ty Lue, I know I give him a lot during the regular season, but in the postseason, there are very few coaches that I'd rather have over Tyronn Lue, because he is that good with out of timeouts. He's that good with adjustments. He's that good with calling plays that he didn't use in the regular season. He doesn't show his hand in the regular season for a reason, and that irks a lot of Clipper fans, but this is why he's here for the playoffs. So another thing, they came out of this game healthy. Yeah. Clipper fans should be celebrating. This is they're healthy. How about this? I mean, that's what people should be looking at. I've always said when this team is fully healthy and when they have Kawhi Leonard, I know he's not at 100% because we can just tell right now. He said after the game, he feels good. But when they're healthy, I mean, I'll take them over a lot of teams still just because of the pure and sheer talent that they have. One thing that I would like to see a little bit more of, I think this was the changing point in the game. I think it was about 7 or 8 minutes left in the fourth, and Russell Westbrook came out of the game. He was dictating a lot of the pace, a lot of the energy, and he was really, really good last night for the Clippers. You can look at his stat line and see that he was 2 for 9. That doesn't matter for me. He was pushing the ball up. He was great on defense. They took him out the 8-minute mark and put James Harden back in, and Russell Westbrook didn't see the floor from then on. That's when the Mavericks really blitzed the Clippers. I would really like to see him finish the game, maybe finish the fourth quarter with that core, because I just think his intangibles that he brings in a playoff scenario just matter a lot more than a Terrence Mann or a Norm Powell. Norm Powell has not been good the first two games of the series. So just a few things that I saw. I mean, Russell Westbrook, I know that you're going to look at his stat line and say, hey, well, he's 2 for 9. He doesn't provide anything on offense. But in a playoff-type scenario, when he's guarding Luka, when he's guarding Kyrie and really active, I think they really need that down the stretch in fourth quarters.
Jake and I talked in the first segment. I woke up to the news that Reggie Bush was reunited with his 2005 Heisman Trophy. Very cool to see the picture, finally, of that happening. It's long overdue. We've been talking about it. I've talked to them about it. Your thoughts, G.A.? Again, keep this in mind. Caleb Williams, who will be the first overall pick in the draft this week, made $10 million over his last two seasons at USC. So the idea that whether it was a car payment or a down payment on like a condo or whatever, it pales in comparison to what these kids are making these days.
Yeah, before I answer that, PFF needs to come out with an intangibles stat. Do they do that yet?
That's a good
point. That needs to have already happened, right? Where you have that, like, maybe hustle percentage or something. I don't know. I don't know how they can do it and what they can do it, but they need to come up with that, because that to me is everything. Like, when I coached, I'd rather have the kid that would, like, scrape and, like, hustle on the floor than some kid that's going to score 30 for me. So, just wanted to shout that out. Yeah, it's about flipping time, man. It's about time. I mean, I think that's all SC fans are going to say. That's all anybody's going to really say, especially considering that these kids, some of these kids, by the way, are making this kind of money, and some of them haven't even touched an a collegiate field yet, right? Okay. Like, or a collegiate, you know, court yet, or they haven't even played a down, et cetera, whatever the case may be. So I think it's ridiculous and it's so hypocritical. And Reggie shouldn't even just get that Heisman returned to him. He better get paid. That's all I have to say. Like, I would give him a reimbursement of some sort. I'd give him like all the things. This is just me. I'm not saying to do it. I'm just saying this is just what I personally would do. Yeah, it's about time. It's ridiculous in the first place, considering NIL, how, I don't want to say out of control NIL money has gotten, because, you know, it's the wild, wild west still right now, and they're just getting what, you know, they can possibly get. And if people are going to give you money, why not take it? For something that you're born with, why not take it? It doesn't make any sense not to. So good for Reggie. Good. It's a great vindication. I'm super psyched for him. I think that's amazing. There's no reason why he should have gotten it taken away in the first place. I think it's ridiculous. And I think the NCAA is, I mean, I think we all know my stance on the NCAA and that it needs to go away. So I think it's great that he's getting it back.
Yeah. Grant, your thoughts. Again, this happened very quickly. Again, I thought that it was so good. It was going to be like a news report that this was going to happen. And then the press release comes out, and then you see the picture, and I'm like, oh, like he has it. Like, they've already presented him back with the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I think this is long overdue, right? Especially when everything came out with how many millions of dollars these players are making, rightfully so. I mean, I've always been an advocate for players getting paid. And it wasn't like Reggie Bush was getting paid like excess amounts of dollars. He was just accepting some gifts and doing such minor things compared to like what players are getting now.
Yeah.
To where it just had to happen. And just some stats about it. Like, he gained more than 2,000 yards from scrimmage and scored 18 touchdowns in that Heisman year. Like, that is unbelievable. He received 784 first place votes. Like, that, yeah, that's the fifth most in that Heisman title history. So, and to boot, I mean, they won the national title too. Yeah. So,
and, but by the way, that is the other thing that I'm hoping happens for them. Like if he's fully reinstated again, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's now officially the Heisman Trophy. You know, like, he's got the trophy back. Hopefully, they get their BCS championship. I'm going to close out on this, Jake, because talking a lot about USC, I got to visit with Deshaun Foster. I'll be playing that conversation, and I'll be going to the spring game. I don't think that the talent is there this season to compete, but they have a head coach who wants to recruit, who will listen. It means a lot to have a coach there who wants to be there. And again, no knock on Chip, who GA and I saw in the South Bay this past week. Deshaun wants to turn this program around. Watch and practice. I don't think the talent's there this season, but your thoughts on Deshaun? Again, the vibe is back there. And again, this is a USC guy saying it. I like what he's trying to do there.
Yeah, I want to be careful with the way I say this. I'm not comparing the Raiders culture to the UCLA football culture, but it all feels like with the AP and the Raiders, where they kind of have Deshaun in the Bruins, or it's like he's just a homegrown guy that wants to be there, the locker room loves, kind of has the same feel to me. I agree with you, the talent's not there, especially making the jump to the Big Ten, where the top of that conference is just miles above where the conference, the top of the Pac-12 was. But you have a guy in there who wants to recruit, wants to turn things around, is bringing in people around him, Eric Bieniemy, guys like that, to help him do that. No knock on Chip. He may have been the right guy to come in at the time, but with this new landscape of college football, it just seems like there's needed to be a change of scenery and a new face leading this program. And Deshaun seems like the guy. I've had my run-ins with him in the past, and always is just a passionate, you know, let's go get after it kind of guy. And I think that's what this program needs. So I'm excited about it. I do think it'll be a rough, maybe next 2 or 3 years until they're really ready to get their feet rolling in the Big Ten. But you got the right guy, I think.
My hope is that they give him that chance. My guess is that they will. Like, they'll give him a couple of years. To your point, I mean, you know, when you bring in the, like, offensive coordinator who was with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid with the Chiefs, that helps. He will recruit well. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. When you're in the Big Ten, the talent's not there this year, may not be there next year, but they'll turn this around. Hopefully USC has done the same as well. All right, guys, that is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark.